Hey, good evening or good afternoon. This is Dan Hegrich, six-time cancer survivor, getting ready here to give you guys another podcast, episode 16. You might think of it, this is three lessons or three perspectives I learned from going through my experience with a form of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma many, many years ago. And of course, going through the medical model, well, the medical treatments for 6 years, and then finally leaving that service, the products and services of the medical model of health, which is to manage your illness, in my humble opinion, in at the very least with chronic degenerative diseases of modern living. Because as you know, if you are awake, you can see how unhealthy people age. So as they get older, they become more codependent and dependent and lose their independence as they age. But it seems to me I've shifted my perspective or my philosophy for how to live is that if I actually do something over and over and over again, I get better at it. And therefore, I become more efficient at it. Therefore, I become stronger at it. Therefore, I am more graceful at whatever I practice or do over and over and over again. And as we age, that should mean that I've practiced life quite a bit. And it should be easier, it should be simpler, it should be more refined. And therefore, I should be able to enter the golden years of wisdom, the golden years of interdependency on all of life. But that isn't the case. Nursing homes continue to grow as a great business model for the elderly. And this is not to shame the elderly. This is not what I'm here to do. I'm here to try and make a difference in this world by making a contribution to the eradication of chronic degenerative disease as part of the human experience. Let's face it, it is a creation of modern man for the most part. That's right. And is it getting better or is it getting worse? That's for you to take a look. Take a look at how your parents are living right now. And that's where you're going. Unless you want to make a difference in your life and help me with my vision of making a contribution to the eradication of chronic degenerative disease as part of the human experience. Why do we have so much chronic degenerative diseases when we can actually create a world where those don't really exist? So I'm going to give you some perspectives or some lessons, major lessons that I've learned. And they're valuable in my life because they keep me sane during these insane days and times that we're in. And these perspectives were gifts to me from the abstract or the unmanifested reality that continues to fuel my heart and condition my mind to bring forth into physical reality a greater health, wealth, and love in relationships for myself and to you, right? It's a simple purpose in life. You wake up and you're like, oh, how can I be healthier, wealthier, and more loving today than I was yesterday? Imagine if all of us were on board with that. So let me give you the three. These are perspectives. Well, lessons learned. Cancer is not a disease, but an expression of the disease. Let me repeat that one because I'm sure you're probably stuck on it already. Cancer is not a disease, but an expression of the disease. And I'll go into a story about how I came into this perspective. And then the body has zero wisdom without you in your body. the body has zero wisdom without you, the real you, what you are in spirit. Without you, the spirit of you in the body. I'll give you a good analogy to take that home in your own mind. Then, the last one, the importance and necessity of self-love as the only absolute love. And I'll give you an analogy for that so you could actually take that home as well. But I do love to preface this particular episode with the quote from Albert Einstein that if an idea is at first not absurd, there is no hope for the idea. Or let me repeat it in a better way. If at first an idea is not absurd, there is no hope for the idea. And that leads me into my first perspective I want to share with you. Cancer is not a disease, but an expression of the disease. Back when I was getting diagnosed with my form of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma from Dr. Lawrence Cloud, he asked me a very powerful question on my first appointment. Dan, how did you get into the business of cancer? And that set into motion a question that I turned inward and asked, how did I get into the business of cancer? How did I get here? And of course, my mind went to search for that answer. And that answer came up that, wow, I definitely made choices consciously and unconsciously that was not in the best interest of health and well-being. Let's just say that. And I talk about my story about answering that question in previous podcast, especially episode 1. So I'll put that episode link into this, into the description box for you to have access to it easily. And so what it did was that question, Dan, how did you get into the business of cancer? It started in motion that if I could answer that question, I could save my soul and help a lot of people along the way. In particular, people who want to prevent chronic degenerative diseases from taking root in their consciousness and their subconsciousness and in their experience of life. And 20 years being free of this supposed dreadful illness, I believe I have some answers to that question. And one of them is, cancer is not a disease, but an expression of the disease. So let me just lay down, I guess, some principal philosophy here. In the plane of living that we are in, this earth plane of living has duality at its core, where up and down are not opposites, they're complementary. Left and right are not necessarily opposites, they're complementary in some ways. So if someone says cancer is a disease, then the opposite must be upheld as a complementary opposite or something that complements it. So cancer as a disease has been indoctrinated into us ever since we were born and previously born. I mean, generationally, we've been conditioned into believing and following that cancer is a disease, but no one ever actually questioned the other side of that or never exposed us to that in our public education. So the complementary opposite to that question is cancer is not a disease. Just like up and down. Cancer is a disease. Okay, that's the upward looking. Well, cancer is not a disease. And if you look at cancer is a disease, if you put your focus on cancer is a disease, then you're going to look at it differently and you're going to go and try and find information to validate that cancer is a disease. And certainly, if you can't find it, you'll create it. you'll create the information that cancer is a disease. And if you look at cancer is not the disease, if you say cancer is not a disease, it's an expression of the disease, you're going to take a look at it differently. And you can go and find information to validate that cancer is not a disease. You can get evidence to support that side of the coin, so to speak, that perspective. So if I get a diagnosis of cancer and I believe that cancer is a disease, something happening to me, and that someone outside of me must help heal that for me, or take care of it, or manage it, and treat it, go to war with it, then it's, in my perspective, that's a disempowering process. That's looking at it from, I'm the victim of cancer. I had nothing to do with it. It's happening to me. Cancer is this invasive alien species, life form that's trying to consume me, and I had nothing to do with it. Or the environment I am in had nothing to do with it. Yet through my experience and my awakening, the perspective that cancer is not a disease allowed me to pull back and take a look at my whole life and conclude that cancer wasn't happening to me, but it was happening for me to awaken into living a more conscious life. And to set the path for me, or the principal framework for me, that health is the foundation to life and love is the purpose for living. So let me break this out a little bit more. If cancer is not a disease, what might it be? There's plenty of things in life that are painful. But that doesn't mean they're all a disease. You know, if I stub my toe and it's painful, that's certainly not a disease, but it is a disease of ignorance or arrogance. I wasn't aware. So if cancer is not a disease, what might it be? Well, author Andreas Moritz sums it up in his book, the book called Cancer is Not a Disease. And he says that cancer is not a disease, but a survival mechanism that occurs after all other protective measures have failed. In other words, it's the body's natural innate processes doing whatever it can to adapt to the circumstances and the environment from which life is trying to express itself. So cancer is just another creation of life. It's another life form that is seeking expression given the current terrain or the environment in which this life form can grow. So if you go into the woods and you look around you and you see mushrooms everywhere, you wouldn't say that's a disease. You call it a mushroom. And the mushroom grows, and different species of mushrooms grow in different circumstances and environmental conditions. Life is seeking expression. It's a transformational process. So the mushrooms are creating a transformational process. It's a life expression. So cancer is growing or alive and growing according to the environmental conditions. If you change the environmental conditions, it has been proven that cancer can't survive or grow because it doesn't support its life expression. You take various seeds and you plant them in the wrong soil and they may not take or grow because the conditions doesn't warrant life expression of that particular individual seed. But if you take that seed and you put it in the appropriate soil and environmental conditions, nurture it along the way, and you can have a bountiful harvest, or you could have a beautiful flower, a gorgeous tree, etc. So if cancer is not a disease, and it's an expression of life relative to the conditions of the environment that offers life the opportunity to express itself. So that's why the other half of this, cancer is not a disease, but an expression of the disease. What's the one disease? What's the disease? Well, the individual cannot be at ease with their life expression. Because if you were at ease with your life expression, you would know how to nourish it, nurture it, and make sure that the soil and the environment are conducive to optimal expression of your life. Just like a great gardener would take care of their soil and their environment so that their plants will flourish and thrive. So the disease is, what's in it in the person that is not gardening their inner world, their inner life, and their external life? Because it's not just your inner world that dictates it. It's what you put your body in, the environment that you're in, that creates circumstances for problems to arise in your life. So that disease, I say, the one disease, I have a couple of sayings. One, the thing that was causing me my problems was my ignorance. I didn't know. And my arrogance. Of course, I knew I was doing things that were harmful to me and others, but I did them anyway. So if cancer isn't a disease, but an expression of the disease, for me, I had the disease of ignorance and arrogance. I was living an ignorant and arrogant lifestyle, and I was taking life for granted. I was not a steward of my environments to give optimal expression to my life, or to give life the opportunity to express itself through me. It's just a perspective, folks. And this perspective I hold dear to me because it's more empowering. In other words, it's a perspective of playing to win. And if you play to win, your chances of winning are much greater. In the case of chronic degenerative disease, if you play to win, you reduce or eliminate your risk of experiencing chronic degenerative disease as part of your human experience. That means if I have the disease of ignorance and arrogance, I have to learn how to wake up from my ignorance and live in integrity of my arrogance to neutralize my arrogance. Both of these seem to point in the direction of know the truth and apply the truth in all my actions. And so for cancer, for me, it was a wake-up call. It was an opportunity. This is pretty funny. I got the wake-up call here. Ready? The wake-up call. Are you going to answer the call? If you answer the call, it begins the process of awakening you from your ignorance, the sleepiness of our own egoic nature. So cancer was an opportunity, not a disease. Cancer was a choice. Cancer is a life expression and a creation of life. Life was a real friend telling me not to drink and drive. Cancer was a guru to me. And a real guru is one that guides you back to you and your true nature. Those are just some other perspectives of what cancer could be, rather than considering it a disease per se, but it is the expression of the disease. And you get to look at this and the whole holistic picture by saying, if cancer is a disease and people have been taught that, indoctrinated into that for generations, it's time to give voice to the complementary other side of that coin by looking at cancer as not a disease, but the expression of the disease, so that we can start to wake up from our ignorance and arrogance and start to apply our truths and our faith in order to help me with that vision I said before, which is to make a contribution to the eradication of chronic degenerative disease as part of the human experience. You know, folks, I can't do it. I can only do my part. And it's not a matter of if we can. That's crazy to think we can't eradicate chronic degenerative disease from the human experience. That's really such a self-limiting view of what we are in spirit. It's just a matter of if we are going to. So therefore, that's what I said before. Cancer is a choice from this point on in your life. And you're going to have to learn how to live more in accordance with nature's laws and your true authentic nature. You could put beside that as a child of God, as a creative human being, as love in action, whatever you want to add to that. But you have to live according to your true authentic nature. And you got to take care of your garden, your inner garden and your external garden. The environment you live in and you are in is very impactful on your inner garden. Just like the plants and trees, the external environment will dictate whether they can thrive or die. So in closing this one out, author Andreas Moritz concludes that cancer does not make a person sick. It is the sickness of that person that causes cancer to be created. Cancer is life, or a life form trying to express life. That's what's going on in this plane of living. Everything is trying to express some kind of life, or life is seeking expression given the environment that is conducive to life forms. So yeah, is cancer threatening your life in some ways, or your life expression? Yeah, life is competing with each other. All of life is sort of competing for expression. given the environment it grows in. Have you ever had weeds in your garden? That's another expression of life trying to take over your garden. What do? When you don't want that life form inside your garden, you pull the weeds from its roots and you make sure that the soil is conditioned in such that those weeds don't have a chance to grow. So who's the gardener? I'll let you think about that as we move on to the next perspective or life lesson that I had from experiencing cancer. This one touches home for a lot of people. The body has zero wisdom. Actually, it pushes people's thinking because in the health and healing arts, a lot of people say, get out of the way and let your body do the healing. So if you say that, the opposite is true, that if you say get out of the way, the body will do the healing. I'm going to take the opposite side of that and say the body can't do any healing without you, the spark of life, the spirit of you in the body. Here's an analogy. If you go down to the morgue and you pull a dead body out from the morgue and you look at it, now, certainly, that spirit or that individual is no longer in the way. There's nothing in the way. So you could put the finest food and nutrients into that body. You could put the best structured spring water into that body. You could hook it up to the appropriate oxygen and put it in a hyperbaric chamber with beautiful oxygen. And you could give it sauna treatment, sunlight, all the nutrients you would think that would support that body. But that body ain't coming back to life. The body will not function without you in it. Do you get the picture? You're totally out. There's nothing in the way. So the body has zero wisdom without the spark of life in it. The desire for life expressing life, or the expression of life's, or life is always seeking expression. And if you're not there, if that force, that unseen force is not there, then the body has no wisdom. Think of it like this too. This is maybe not as clear cut, but your automobile is your body. So if you're not driving the car, it's just sitting in your parking lot doing absolutely nothing. In fact, it's just rotting. It's decomposing. The function of the car happens when you get in the car and turn the key to give the life force energy into that car. But then again, the car just sits there idling, doing nothing until you, the driver, the spirit, says, okay, car, I'm taking you somewhere. The car doesn't know necessarily where it's going, at least at this time in our technological advanced state of civilization. So the car is just at your command. So just like your body is totally at your command, it's just waiting for the boss to do what it needs to do and give it what it needs to thrive and flourish. So it's a very important lesson to consider, folks, because I want you to think about life as an embodiment process, to become embodied, in body. And I'm going to ask that anything you do is to get into your body. Really get into it, like the gardener gets into its garden beds. and gets its hands dirty and learn what does the body and mind require to thrive. You'll be amazed at what happens when you start to give your body mind what its needs are. Just like the good gardener can notice a plant and say, oh, this plant needs such and such in order for it to thrive. It meets its needs and the plant thrives. And what are those needs? Earth, water, air, fire. It needs soil, most of them, right? It needs water. It needs oxygen within the soil or air. And it needs sunlight, more or less, depending on the species or the plant. So you and I need a certain amount of earth, water, air, and fire. So in summary, your body has no wisdom without you in it, the real you, the spirit you, the animated spark of life seeking expression in you. And therefore, I'm asking or suggesting that it would be wise to consider getting back into your body. And that's why breath work is so powerful, because the breath brings you home. It brings you back into the temple. And there's many other modalities out there that can bring us back into our body. Love your body because it is your temple that houses your spirit. And then you can create the environment within yourself and create an environment outside of yourself so that you can thrive and live an optimal expression of your true self. And that gets me excited because it's possible. Brings us to the last important lesson or perspective that was developed through my experience, and that is the importance and necessity of self-love as the only absolute love. If you want a soulmate, the soulmate is not outside of you. The soulmate is inside of you when you experience unity within you. That's what I call the holy matrimony, is when your masculine and feminine energy come into union. That's holy matrimony. Not the one we've developed where the man and woman go up the aisle and get married. I mean, that's all great and fun and a wonderful part of the human experience, but it's not the ultimate game. But the importance and necessity of self-love is really missing in our culture at large, especially for men, because it's certainly not manly or masculine to love thyself. And we've been conditioned as men to love our personality or to love the egoic version of love. We love our big pecs, our pectoral chest muscles. We love our big paychecks. We love our big penis. We love our big personality and persuasiveness. Right? That's what we've been conditioned in, or I have been conditioned in, and I had to go through cancer to start to wake up to lift myself up from that conditioning. That self-love is not that. Self-love is union with myself, with the all parts and aspects of myself and my personality and characteristic traits so I can come into union and oneness within myself. I become my soulmate. So here's an analogy what is more practical about what self-love is and why it's necessary. So I was growing up, my dad worked for the United Airlines, and we flew a lot, usually once or twice a year. And we got the flight attendant talk about the oxygen mask coming down in case of an emergency. And adults, put your mask on first and then help your children. That is self-love. Why? When the mask comes down and you need to take oxygen, if you put that oxygen mask on and you have oxygen feeding into your brain and bloodstream, you will be an asset to the situation. That means you will be helpful to others. If you do not put on that oxygen mask and you start to help others, then eventually you will become a liability to the situation. Therefore, such is life. If you are not filled up with vitality and oxygen and nutrients and rest and the mindful attitude and perspective of gratitude, number one, and not taking life for granted, and tending to your garden, inner garden and outer garden, then you're going to become an asset to the evolution of society. And in my world, you'll be an asset to the eradication of chronic degenerative disease as part of the human experience. Put your mask on. Put your oxygen mask on first, folks. Become the asset. Rather than the liability. Now, that's an idealism. So we want to strive for our ideals, don't we? Along the way, without shaming, blaming, or making people feel guilty along the way for our human conditioning. And I'm sure self-love goes a little bit further. So let me end this particular perspective and life lesson with a quote from Lloyd Thomas in an article I read called Observation of Self. Love of self and then others, in that order of importance, is the most powerful healing force in existence. Love of self and then others, in that order of importance, is the most powerful healing force in existence. And that, my friends, is why I learned the importance and necessity of self-love as the only absolute love. Because then I have something of value to offer people without expecting anything in return. I can give of myself freely. No attachment, no judgment. So in summary, folks, for today's podcast, let's just go through this again. There is only one disease. In the biochemical world, it's cellular loss of cellular malfunction and loss of homeostasis, yada, yada, yada. But for me, in the bigger picture, you can go to the energetic explanation that there's a loss of resonance or coherence within the electrons and protons circling a nucleus in an organized fashion. So there's chaos in that particular atom. So you get the cell is malfunctioned and losing homeostasis. Or you go to the atom level and it's the electrons and protons that are orbiting around a nucleus in a chaotic state. that expresses illness or disease. And then if you expand it further, the one disease is loss of connection to the source of life and the source of love. So the further we deviate from these factors, then pain and chronic disease will continue to manifest to wake us up. So therefore, when we separate from ourselves, from our holy matrimony, when we separate, the deeper we separate, the more pain we experience. The more we separate from nature as domesticated animals, the more we feel separated from nature, the more pain and suffering. And the more we separate from our true nature, we express and experience greater pain and suffering. Therefore, cancer is not a disease, but the expression of this one disease. Number two, your body has zero wisdom without you in it. So therefore, get into your body mind and embody the human experience and flourish and thrive and live optimally. Allow the environment, create the environment so that the expression of life can come through and become an asset to the progress of society. And lastly, the importance of necessity of self-love as the only absolute love. Begin to learn to love what you are in spirit, who you are in personality, and what you love to do for the sake of doing it. Then you will come to realize that you are loved, loving, and lovable just as you are right now. This is Dan Hegerich. This is Do the Cure, six-time cancer survivor. Optimal life coach, trying to help people to become healthier, wealthier, and more loving today than you were yesterday. May you live with power and grace.